It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Exodus. We're in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, the 16th chapter. I was looking at a cross-reference just a minute ago, and I'd stuck there, I guess. Revelation chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading with verse 13. And so we will begin there, Revelation 16, 13. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And please, if you would like to call us, the phone number here is 217-847-2717. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 16, beginning to read with verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day, of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He gathered themselves together into a place called in Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great noise out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And we'll end there with the end of that chapter. Please, now let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity to come together. I just praise you for the opportunity and the mission that we have to get out the gospel, to get out your word, and we're able to use the radio to do that. Thank you, Father. I just ask that you will touch every heart that's listening to this. If, Father, they do not know you as their Savior, they possibly could face this time, because any day you could come and get us. And when you come to get us, Father, it is going to be, it ushers in when the rapture of the church takes place. It will usher in the tribulation period, and that's what we're looking at here. Father, it's going to be most horrible time here upon the earth, and no one needs to go through it if they know you as their Savior. So please, dear Lord, that all that are listening today will come to know you as their Savior and begin that precious walk. Now please, just grow us all. Those that are saved, grow us. Those that are lost, save them. Father, please. Please, I know it's their choice, but I just ask that they'll open their hearts up and they'll listen, and salvation will be theirs. Please, just speak to all the hearts today, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look now at this 13th chapter, this 13th verse, chapter 16, it is a wonderful chapter as we continue to study, and wonderful verses. And I saw three unclean spirits. You know, John sees something else here. You know, he, as he looks at this time, at this period of the reign of the Antichrist, all the kings of the earth have allied themselves with him. The goal is to destroy the remnant of Israel. That's the goal. Israel has refused, or some of Israel has refused, to accept the false Messiah. They have refused to receive the mark of the beast. Many Jews will. but some, a remnant, will not. And to prepare for this last great slaughter, we need help from two things. And that is, we need to see the Euphrates dry up so that they can move on Jerusalem. And second, we need to see three demon spirits go out to draw the kings together. God uses these evil spirits, these demons, from hell, and they will have a satanic power to perform this miracle. As we look at this 13th verse, the three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out from the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So three unclean spirits from the dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. The spirits of demons. You know, as we look at the cross-reference here, and I want to go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to all, created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, you know, we have quite a combination of folks today of, isn't it a sad statement there? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. We have a lot of vegetarians today and a lot of folks that are against eating meat. God has given that to us. We just need to thank Him for it. Is the only requirement. And so we find folks that are total vegetarians and they don't believe in eating meat. I believe they need to go to the Word of God. And if you also are of the direction of the folks that are protecting the animals. They've many believe they have a soul, they have everything, and we have to care for them. The animals are for our use. It's not for the animal is not in control of us. We are in control of the animals. We are to use them and use them properly, use them humanely, yes. But they are to be slaughtered and eaten. That's the purpose. And so we need to get things turned back around. You can see how all these things have come about. And it's because people are becoming very ungodly. They do not go according to the Word of God. Now here's 1 Timothy. And if you'll notice there, it said forbidding to marry. Now, as we read that, you know, the evil spirits, the seducing spirits, the purpose, they work miracles, satanic miracles, yes, but they work miracles, and they bring forth the kings of the whole world to gather them together to battle of that last great day, and that battle will be literally against Almighty God. They're going to come against Israel, but it'll literally be Almighty God. You know, in the 16th verse here, as we move down now, For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, we're going to back up here just a little bit to the 15th verse in just a few minutes, but he gathers them together into a place called Armageddon. The Mount of Slaughter is what that stands for. Now, a picture of this great gathering we're going to find in Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to go back there now. And so Psalms book of Psalms, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." Now, we need to look at these words just a little bit back in Psalms. I hope that you turned back to Psalms chapter 2 and read those verses with me. And once again, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And look at these words now, to imagine vain things. This word vain means empty things. And when you have a godless society, there is nothing there. It is empty, empty. And so to imagine empty things, what they think they can do, they can't. You understand what I'm saying? They imagine vain things, empty things. They think that they can come and stand against God and win. They think they can go up against the nation of Israel, those that God loves, and win and destroy them. They can't. Empty things. Now, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, that word anointed here, if you look in the Hebrew, it is Messiah. In the Greek, it's Christo. In the English, it's Christ. So you see, all the way back in the book of Psalms, when we see this, it tells us the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. So against God the Father and against Christ himself. The world, the kings, and the rulers take counsel against them. All right, now in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what they're saying. That's what the kings of the earth and the rulers are saying. We're going to come against the Lord, and we're going to break their bands. You see, they believe that they are bound somehow or other, and they are. But they think they can tear it up, and to destroy these bonds or these bands is to destroy the family. What has been so successful with the devil today in destroying the family unit? Get rid of the Ten Commandments. Look at what has taken place in our courthouses and our public areas today. Look at what's going on. That was told back in Psalms chapter 2, and it's a sign of the end times. Understand, it's a sign of the end times, and it's coming very soon. Because just look at what's happening around the world, but especially in this Christian nation, or at least it was a Christian nation, until we have such leadership as we have today. Congress and the leadership of our country today is very, very evil and very corrupt and very ungodly. And when you have that combination, the things that we see here, the tearing down of the family, the getting rid of the Ten Commandments, all those things, can't speak of the Bible, can't speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that they can destroy. We're going to come against the Lord. We're going to come against the God the Father. We're going to come against his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you just come. And that's what verse 4 is saying. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, that word laugh is not a laughter of humor. It's a laugh this is ridiculous. You think you can come and fight against me? That's what God the Father is saying. That's what God the Son is saying. You are so arrogant that you think you can destroy me. The Lord shall have them in derision, in contempt. That's what that means. That second chapter of the book of Psalms, I want you to go there. I want you to read that. I'm going to read it once more before we leave it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things or empty things? How can they imagine that the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break the bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." You just wait. You think you can come against my God? Well, you just come. Because he will show you. He will show you that he is victor. He will show you that the truth stands. Now you just come against him. Because that's a very, very ridiculous statement. The religions of the world, the kings of the world, the important people of the world, the power of this country can come against God, and they are. They're throwing everything they can. Satan is just leading them. But it's not going to happen. Because the God of truth is going to be the victor. It's going to come. In order for all this to take place, as we have read back in the 12th verse, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So to do that, the Euphrates rivers must be dried up. And you want to make a fool of yourself? All right, I'll open that river up. I'll dry the Euphrates River up so you can just come right on across. I'll help you. You want to come against me? You want to come against my anointed? You come. And he gives them the opportunity by this. Now the 15th verse, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." What a strange announcement. I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments. These could be words spoken to the church concerning the rapture. But that was almost 7 years earlier. During the reign of the Antichrist, not all will bow down and worship him, nor will all receive the mark of the beast. Most that refuse to get the mark of the beast, to bow down to the Antichrist, will be killed. But some will live through it all up to the pouring out of this seventh vial. It's for these faithful few that Jesus comes just before the great battle of Armageddon begins, and they will be supernaturally, just super with God's superpower, and they will be removed from this place. And the final judgment cannot be poured out until every righteous one is out of the range of God's fury. It was that way in Noah's day. Not a drop of rain fell before all were in the ark, and the Lord shut the door. Now you can see that, and I think we need to go back there to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 through 16. Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 16. It's going to be a little bit of reading here, but I think you'll enjoy it. "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female. The beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and fowls of everything that creepeth, fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah, unto the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the deep broken open, and the windows of the heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto the Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. He called them. He gave them the deadline. They come in. But the Lord shut the door. It was the same way in the days of Sodom. Sodom could not have been destroyed until Lot was safely outside the city. You find that in Genesis 19:22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. In other words, till you have left, I will not do anything. I can't do anything. Revelation, as long as the righteous were present, judgment will not come. The final judgment, the battle of Armageddon. Days of Noah, until the righteous were safe. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah, until the righteous were safe. And it was kind of a pathetic excuse for righteousness with Lot. But he was saved. And once you're saved, you're always saved. It was that way with the bride of Christ, the church. We will not start the day, you know, some believer, they're in post or pre or mid-tribulationist. I don't really know how you can do that, because we need to understand that God takes his own out before this starts. We have so many examples of that. It was that way with the bride of the church, the bride of Christ, the church. It will not go through one day of the great tribulation. All believers will be raptured out. And so who is the saved that's during the tribulation? Well, they're saved during the tribulation. As we've said many times, when the tribulation begins, there will not be one lost person, there will be not one saved person left on this earth when the tribulation begins. Not one saved person. Everybody will be lost, everyone. Children will be born, folks will be saved during that time, and those saved folks, then when it comes to the end of the tribulation period, and those that are saved have been taken out that we're just talking about. So when the end of the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ starts, there'll be no lost people on this earth. So beginning of the tribulation, no saved. Beginning of the millennium, no lost. All will be saved. And so I hope I said that correctly. As we look at the beginning of the tribulation, there will not be any born-again believers here at that time, only lost people. At the end of the tribulation period and the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, there will only be saved people, no lost. So it will be, at this time, all God-fearing born-again believers will be removed, everyone, before God thrusts in the sharp sickle, the word, to reap the earth. And that is in 16:16. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Armageddon means Mount of Megiddo. M-E-G-I-D-D-O. Forgive me for my inability to speak sometimes. It's in the plain of Jezreel. The great valley that runs through the middle of the Holy Land, from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River. It's approximately 200 miles long. It's about 10 miles wide. It means the place of slaughter. Megiddo. Thank you. I can finally get it. Megiddo. It's the Old Testament battlefield, the place of slaughter. In Judges 5:19, the kings come and fought by the waters of Megiddo. 2 Chronicles 35:22 tells us that Josiah came to fight in the same valley. So it's an Old Testament battlefield, and that's where the Lord's going to bring them all together. The sixth vial brings all the kings of the earth with their armies to the valley of slaughter. All is now ready for the last seventh vial to be poured out. What a sight! Jerusalem is now surrounded by armies. Millions of soldiers led by their kings. They are determined to wipe the names of God and Jesus from the earth and from the memory of man. Doesn't that sound like today? David tells us this back in Psalms chapter 2, doesn't he? Some 3,000 years ago. The 17th verse at the end says, "It is done." And once again, the seventh angel poured out the vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." On the cross, the Lord Jesus cried out, "It is finished." The redemption of the soul, the great sacrifice, our great sacrifice, was offered there. Here it says, "It is done." The judgment of the earth is finished. Christ is about to rid the earth of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. The contents of the little seven-sealed book are completed. Every detail carried out. The whole creation at last will stop. It's groaning. It's travailing in pain. That'll end. It's finally over. You can look to Romans chapter 8, verse 21 through 23. Never in the history of the world will so much confusion, chaos, come to this universe as when the last vial is poured out. It says, emptied out in the air. The air will go into a literally mighty convulsions, thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. You can't imagine what that's going to be like. Judgment. Judgment. We're going to begin with Psalms and Isaiah and Hebrews and 2 Peter, and then on to look at Revelation 17, and then go back to the 19th verse. Got a lot of things to cover, but as always and as so often, we're out of time. My dear friend, I hope you know Jesus. I hope you don't have to go through this. I just ask, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?